Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Birchridge. In case you missed the first couple of weeks in this series, let me just do a quick little recap for you. Samson was set apart from birth. I mean, he was set apart from birth and anointed with special power and wisdom and strength to help deliver the people of Israel from their enemies, the Philistines. And God had given Samson this overwhelming, amazing power and strength and anointing. But because of poor choice after poor choice after poor choice, we see him that he squandered it all away. In fact, we summarize Samson's life with one statement, and that statement was this: Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. He was an incredibly strong man, but had a dangerously weak will. And we pick up our story today, and Samson is in the desert, and he's super thirsty, and he cries out to God. We pick up in Judges chapter 15 and verse 19. Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En-Hakkor, and is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Did you catch that small little bit of good news in there? Like, Samson had an experience with God. He got on the right track. Scripture tells us that he effectively and efficiently led the nation of Israel for 20 years. Tragically, we're going to watch this guy who had it together, who was doing the right thing, who was serving people and honoring God like so many of you. But by the time our time here ends today, we're going to see Samson with both of his eyes gouged out of his head, his hair cut, tied to a couple of pillars, and he is the laughingstock before his enemies, the Philistines. And a question arises: how is this possible? How could someone with so much God-given potential, with so much strength, with so much power, how could this happen? And the answer is this, and I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss this. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it one step at a time. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He did it one step at a time. And it's the same with you and me. We do it one step at a time. Okay, so we just read that Samson effectively led the nation of Israel for 20 years. Let's keep reading and see how this unfolds. Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. One day, everybody say one day.
One day.
One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Did you catch that? Samson has effectively, efficiently led the nation of Israel for 20 years. He's got it going on. He's doing the right thing. He's on the right track. And then one day, say one day. What's interesting to me, though, is we read the story of David and his affair with Bathsheba. It's similar. The scripture says in 2 Samuel that in the spring, when kings went off to war, David stayed behind. So you could almost, I don't want to change scripture, but you could almost read into that like, David is the king, he's leading, everything's going well, but one day, when he was supposed to go off and wage war like kings do, David said, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to stay at home and take a little nap. I'm going to do my own thing. And so he takes a snooze, and he wakes up, and he walks out onto the balcony of his palace, and he stretches, and he yawns, and he looks around, and he's like, whoa! He looks across the way, and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath on her balcony. Now, why in the world, one might ask, was Bathsheba taking a bath in plain view of the king's palace? I don't know. The scripture doesn't even say. But suffice it to say, that's what happened. And David was like, whoa! And one day changed everything for David. Same with Samson. One day, Samson's leading the nation of Israel wonderfully, and then one day he goes to Gaza and he messes it all up. One day changes everything for these two guys. One day, listen, this isn't just a Bible story. One day you can be going along and everything is good. You're walking with the Lord, you're reading scripture, you're praying, you're witnessing, you're in tune with God, you're following, you're growing, you're learning, you're loving, it's all these things. And then one day you can start to make poor choices. Poor choice after poor choice after poor choice. And you find yourself in a downward spiral, and that's what happened with Samson. So Samson goes to Gaza, and he hooks up with a prostitute. Let's keep reading, verse 2. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. Now, what's the significance of this? Well, listen, Gaza is the headquarters of the Philistines, the enemies of God. So our brainchild, Samson, all due respect to Samson, but in this moment he's going to get that title. Our brainchild, Samson, walks 25 miles into enemy central and he finds a prostitute. Risking 20 years of faithful service to God and the nation of Israel. Can you imagine anyone being so careless? So thoughtless, so reckless. Now be careful, because that's a trick question. Because we see it all the time. Wonderful marriages, great careers, amazing ministries, personal integrity, and people risk it all. All the time, all around us. I'm sure you have been affected in some way, shape, or form with somebody having so much together, having it all together, and for one reason or another, you watching this go, what in the world are you thinking? Risk it all. Now, so I broke this down a little bit, okay, because we all know that as a pastor, I only work for a few hours a week, and that's just on Sunday mornings, right? So the rest of the time, I just sit in my office and watch my Bible hover over my desk. Right? So I have a lot of time on my hands to do this calculation. Right? I'm being facetious and sarcastic, right? No, I do have a little bit of time on my hands to figure this out, obviously, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, 25 miles. And so the average amount of steps it would probably take to walk this 25 miles was about 56,250 steps. An average stride would be about 56,250 steps. How do most people ruin their lives? We just got that saying. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He did it one step at a time. So, effectively, essentially, Samson had 56,250 opportunities to go, Samson, what in the world are you doing? Stop! Don't do it! Yeah, he didn't listen. Here's the problem. Most people don't seek to mess up their lives. Most people don't intentionally go out and try to screw up everything in their lives. I don't know of a single person who said, you know what, my 10-year goal is to be a perverted sex addict. I don't know a single person would ever say that. Yeah, that's my goal. I'm going to be so messed up that I won't be able to tell the difference between fantasy and reality. It doesn't happen. But I'll tell you what does happen. You open up your computer or smartphone, and an ad pops up. You're like, whoa! Click. Whoa! Click, 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 click. Game over. No one seeks to destroy their life. How does it happen? One step at a time. I don't know of a single person that says, you know what, I've got a great spouse. Wonderful kids. I think I'm going to go out and have an affair and screw it all up. But I'll tell you what does happen. Short glance leads to longer stares. Longer stares leads to just some innocent flirting. Flirting leading to some simple touches, and next thing you know, bada boom, bada bing, game over. No one seeks to ruin their lives. How does it happen? It happens one step at a time. People don't ruin their lives all at once. It's one step at a time. So this morning, I want to show you Samson's small steps to big trouble. Small steps to big trouble. Write this down. Number one, Samson taunted his enemy. Samson taunted his enemy. Again and again, watch how he does this. Judges chapter 16 and verse 3. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Now, what did he just do? He's with this girl, right? And the Philistines are laying in wait for him. And he gets up at midnight, and he goes to the city gates, and he rips the doors off their hinges, posts and all, and the bar. And one commentary I read said these doors weighed approximately 700 pounds. So he picks these doors up off their hinges, lifts them over his head. It's kind of about the amount of weights that I work with on a daily basis in the gym. And he carries them up a hill, and he's like, It's like he's saying, you thought you were safe, didn't you, Philistines? You thought you were secure, but you're not. You see, I think sometimes we get a little too complacent with the devil. I think somehow we get too complacent, and we think that he can't touch us. That we're a little above and beyond that. You know, some people have this, for one, some people just don't even think the devil's real. They think he's just some character in a cartoon or whatever with a red suit on and pointed horns and long tail and a pitchfork in his hands. Or maybe you think that because you came from a family of ministry and you are just, you know, God's anointing is all over you and the devil can't touch you. Right? I think sometimes we get way too comfortable and complacent thinking that we're out of the devil's range. Like maybe you're just on the opposite. You realize he is really real, but maybe he's got bigger fish to fry. Why would he mess with a little old me? I think sometimes we get way too comfortable. But we need to remember one thing. The devil's sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that's near and dear to the heart of God. And might I remind you that you are what's near and dear to the heart of God. Church, I hope you understand this. Satan doesn't just want to hurt you or wound you. He wants to destroy you. He would like to kill you. He hates you. He loathes you. I hope you understand that. But so often we taunt the enemy. We underestimate his abilities. And we put ourselves in just... try not to say words that we don't want our children to repeat. He puts himself in just inappropriate places. And sometimes we do that as well. We just, silliness, wrong. We put ourselves in places of temptation. And it's like, why? You're like, you want to see how close you can get to the edge without falling over? How close you can get to the flame without getting burned? We taunt the enemy and put our places. And we think, I can handle it. I'm tough. I got up, had my Wheaties, read my scripture, prayed up. I'm ready to go. I can handle anything. I can get as close as I want. I'm invincible. I'm strong. I can handle it. Be careful. Be careful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Sometimes I think that's the devil just does that. And he'll sometimes just allow everything to just go smooth. And you're like, oh man, this is awesome, right? And I often wonder, when I experience some of the bigger attacks in my life, oftentimes I'm reminded by people, sometimes people do the actual reminding for me, that you're onto something. You're ticking the devil off. You're doing what God wants you to do, and you're facing all kinds of spiritual persecution because of it. The Satan's just coming after you because he hates what you're doing, because you're doing stuff for the kingdom. But if I'm not, then maybe sometimes things are just going really well. Sometimes I should be worried that things are going too well. If I had to go off that premise lately, I would say I'm really ticking the devil off. Right? Because it seems like I have been getting just hammered with all kinds of attention lately. By the way, can I just ask a couple questions? Just want to make sure. Does anybody here think that I'm perfect? Okay, good. Does everybody here believe that I make mistakes?
Yes.
Okay, good. Wow, that's awesome. So you know, the okay, we're good. I just wanted to clarify that. But sometimes we need to really be careful, because we gotta, and when we're pressing into who God is and what He wants of us, then there's a target on you. And the devil is real, and he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy the good work that God is doing through you. So, the first thing that Samson did is he taunted the enemy. The second thing, write this down, he rationalized the same old sin. He rationalized the same old sin. Remember week one? What was that one thing Samson did? He chased after a Philistine woman, right? He's like, I gotta have her. Dad, go get her for me. And it's like, Samson, you don't have a relationship with women who don't worship the one true God. But Samson's like, I don't care, right? And so here he is, he's at it again. Verse 4. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the Valley of Sorek. Every time I hear that name, I want to dedicate a love song. You may know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, what? It's okay. We seem to be masters at rationalizing the same old sin in our lives, whatever it is for you. Hey, it's just my one thing. It's just my one thing, right? I don't do that. I don't partake in that. I don't go there. I don't. No, no, it's just, this is just my one thing. Just my one thing. Right? Hey, not hurting you. Not hurting anybody. It's just only affecting me. Mind your own business, right? It's just my one thing. And we seem to be masters of rationalizing. Hey, it could be 12 things, it's just one, so it's okay, right? We seem to be masters of rationalizing the same old sin in our lives. And that's what Samson does. Look at verse 5. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how we can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Wow. So in verses 6 through 15, you can read this on your own, but let me summarize. Delilah basically says, Samson, wink, 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 tell me the secret that makes you so strong. Cracks his bicep. Tell me, Samson. Right? And so Samson says, all right. He says, it's bowstrings. So if you tie me up with bowstrings, new, brand new bowstrings, I will become as weak as anybody else. And so that night she lulls him to sleep, and she ties him up with these bowstrings, and then she's like, Samson, the Philistines are here! And he breaks the bowstrings. She's like, Samson, you lied to me. Fake tear, pouty face. Right? He says, okay. It's ropes, yeah, ropes, that's it. If you tie me up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I will become as weak as any other man. So that night she lulls into sleep. She ties him up with ropes that have never been used. And then she's like, Samson, the Philistines! You know? Samson, thought you loved me. You know, why are you lying to me? And so he's like, okay, dear. It's my hair. Now he's getting closer, but he still doesn't come clean. He says, it's my hair. If you weave the braids of my hair into this fabric and pin it with this loom thing or whatever, I will become as weak as any other man. So that night, she lulls him to sleep, and she weaves his braids in with his fabric, and then she's like, Samson, Philistines! She's like, Samson, We don't keep secrets from each other. I thought you loved me. Why won't you tell me? And that leads us to verse 16. I shouldn't love this verse that much. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. And only the men laughed. Here's what I'm trying. Some of them look like, I'm going to kill you later. It's getting warm. Here's what I'm trying to say, okay? Samson could kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He was strong enough to lift 700-pound doors over his head. He's strong enough to kill a lion with his bare hands. But he can't hold off. He's not strong enough to hold off this woman. Verse 17. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut, he confessed. For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me. And I would become as weak as anyone else. I love how it says that, because in my mind, I'm hearing Samson kind of both in his mind and verbally reminiscing and remembering. I was born for this. From birth, I was born with God's anointing and strength to be the instrument to help deliver the nation of Israel. And in my mind, I can't say this in scripture, but in my mind, I'm picturing Samson thinking that, and it unintentionally came out, and he said, and if my hair is ever cut, I'll become as weak as anyone. I don't know if you read into it that far, but that's the picture I see when I read this text. Verse 19. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called a man in to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and let's read it together. And his strength left him. One more time. What? His strength left him. His strength left. I wonder how many people in this very room today, you're doing battle every single day, but you're doing it in your own strength, and you're forgetting to tap into the supernatural, amazing, wonderful power of God. So Samson didn't mess up his life all at once. He did it one step at a time, right? He taunted his enemy. He rationalized the same old sin. And the last thing is this. Samson assumed his disobedience would never cost him. Samson assumed his disobedience would never cost him. Just like so many people today. They assume, hey, I got away with it. I got this. He assumed his disobedience would never cost him. Verse 20. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Listen, maybe you've gotten away with it before. Maybe you've gotten away with it 12 times, but therein lies the danger. You think you got away with it. But my Bible says your sin will find you out. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You think you're getting away with it, but you're not. You never will. You can't. You do realize that, don't you, church? And just when you think your stuff won't cost you, bam, there it is. He didn't realize the Lord had left him. And here's the tragedy, verse 21. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. Wow! How far we have fallen, Samson. leading the nation of Israel faithfully, honorably for 20 years, and then one day, and now he's standing tied between a couple of pillars, his hair cut, his eyes gouged out of his head, and he's the laughingstock before his enemies. Let me ask you this, where are you stepping away from God today? Maybe you're on step one. Maybe it's just, I think I'm going to get away with something. Maybe you're on step one. Maybe you're on step 56,249. But it really doesn't matter, because write this down. You're only as strong as you are honest. You're only as strong as you are honest. So for goodness sakes, church, be honest with yourself. Be honest before God. What is it for you? Are you starting to cheat God in time in God's word because you're just too busy? Are you spending less and less time talking to Him about anything and everything? Some people call it, you know, official prayer, you know, but I like just having conversations with my Creator. Do I do it perfectly? No. I'm just asking you, what is it for you? Where is it for you? Are you lacking in that prayer time? Are you lacking in scripture time? Are you not treating your spouse the way you used to, the way you should? What is it for you? Regardless of what it is, where you've been, what you've done, the bottom line is this: all you have to do is turn around. And God is right there. What we read in Samson where it says, "For the Lord had left him," let me promise you something. The Lord will never leave you. Whatever it is, whatever it is that makes you feel unworthy, undeserving, went too far, done too much, it's been too long, all you have to do is turn around. He's right there. Verse 22. But before long, his hair began to grow back. See how awesome God is. Next week we're going to see that just because a person is down doesn't mean they're out. Scripture says, though a righteous man fall seven times, he rises again. Whatever it is, wherever you've stepped away from God, if you've stepped away from God in any area, all you do is turn around and start to feel that strength return. Father, so many things to be gleaned from the story of Samson. There's incredibly powerful things. There's incredibly sad things. There's tragic things. There's humorous things. But God, you put this here for us. And I am just trying my best to find the application for us today. That not only can we become wiser and more knowledgeable of Scripture, but we can also apply what's written for our good and your glory. So much, I just see it so clearly, God, how there's so much of Samson in so many of us, all around us, maybe not us directly, but in our maybe families, our co-workers, neighbors, maybe it's us. Too many steps. We can't go back. We can't. fix it. And I believe that there are always consequences for our actions. But God, you are a wonderful, good, awesome Father, a great and awesome King, who says you will never leave us nor forsake us. So may we learn some important things that we can apply to our lives, like stop dancing so close to the edge. Like, if we do this, are we still okay? Why don't we, as God's people, as Birch Ridge, why don't we just spend all of our time at the feet of Jesus and we don't have to worry about getting close to the edge? Why do we have to taunt? God, help us not to taunt the enemy. Help us not to rationalize the same old sin over and over, God. Help us to be done and over with it. Help us to lay it at the cross and walk away and not take it with us. Say, God, I'm done with this. And I can't do it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I know you are my Savior. I know you are my Lord. And you have come to set the captives free. Help us to live this short life for the glory of the one who created us, who died for us, who rose again for us, Jesus. If we've got things we need to lay down at the altar, God, help us to do that. Help us to do that. Maybe it's attitude, maybe it's anger, maybe it's revenge, maybe it's depression, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's betrayal, maybe it's just disappointment. God, we're all broken. You never give up on us. Help us never to give up on those around us. Help us to stick. Help us to stay. Thank you.
Well, today, in the hope of glory in Jesus Christ, have a great day.